everybody, and welcome to the Friday Filibuster. Back from a brief hiatus, I am Dave Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hackadoo.
Daryl Loomis.
I'm cold.
Eric Astroslager.
Hi there.
And a new voice, our buddy Jason Pinella, a DVD Verdict brother in arms. Jason, welcome.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Oh, happy to have you on board. And basically, we'll kill some time, send you out on your weekend, and get you prepped for your last minute Christmas shopping. Daryl, we'll start with you because it is cold down where you are, is it not?
Yes. It has been parts of my house have been under 3 inches of ice since Friday. And when I mean 3 inches of ice, I mean 3 inches of solid ice because that's all that fell.
That's what I've been hearing. It's pretty wild. So it's like life slowed down to a crawl down there?
Yeah, down here when that stuff happens, and I mean even if it's just, you know, a little bit of sleet or something like that, people just drop out. Schools have been closed since Friday. There's no reason to have schools closed right now. Schools have been closed since Friday. It's pretty bad the way, not in general, not the weather, the way people handle it.
So do you think Batman and a chubby Batgirl need to reorient a satellite to blast sunlight all over your town and melt
or
the ice?
Or at least bring some salt.
Okay, bring some salt. Salt needed.
Whatever, something.
Some bat salt.
Some bat salt.
Yeah, don't leave it that. Some bat salts. Not bat salts.
Not bat salts. No,
bat salts.
So while you've been iced away, have you partaken of anything you want to share entertainment-wise with us?
Yeah, I started catching up on the classic Doctor Who that's available on Netflix.
So classic, like Afro, big...
Yeah, Star. Yeah, and that's actually the Doctor that I'm on right now, Tom
Baker.
Gotcha,
okay.
Afro and scarf. But there's Old Man who does, like, Aikido moves, and all, you know, all sorts. But I'm enjoying them. It's funny how cheap the show is.
Oh, yeah.
But still how much fun they seem to have with it. I mean, there's like, you know, one of the recent episodes that I saw was the monster was clearly just a dude wrapped in bubble wrap.
That's right.
That's like painted green. But it's clearly just bubble wrap. I mean, you could see a few broken bubbles in it. I mean, it's bubble wrap.
And the rest of the episode just wasn't the doctor popping more bubbles.
No, that's what I would have expected. Like that was the horror, is that, yeah, he just sat there fixed on the monster popping him for the four episode arc that it was. But no, it was broader than that. But no, it was fun, and, you know, with having 18 different arcs on there, it gives you a pretty good sense of what the whole, you know, what that whole classic show looked like. So, you know, it's fun. I've got eight arcs left. Of the 18 that are on.
All right.
I've been under ice. Give me a break.
Nice. Okay, so, but enjoying yourself, yes?
Totally, totally, totally.
Cool. All right, Mac, how about you? What's new?
So I made it out to the theater, and I saw The Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
Yes.
This is not bad. I enjoyed it. It like the book, it really suffers from sequel-itis. It's kind of, remember all the stuff from the first movie? We're doing that stuff again. But with little variations on it.
Gotcha.
So that was a little frustrating. I felt like it was kind of just biding its time till all the really big stuff happens in the finale. But there was a lot to like about it as well. Once the games get underway, some of the action is pretty cool. And Jennifer Lawrence, again, really does a good job. I really liked how the movie sort of calls out the Katniss character for being sort of blunt and rude to everybody, because that's a big criticism that the books always get, is like, you know, why is she so rude to people? Why is she just so, you know, abrupt with people? And in the movie, the characters actually, you know, call her out on that and say, geez, Katniss, you know, why are you so rude to everybody? So I don't know if that was an inside joke or if they were just kind of...
Well, if it was, you got it, though, right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
So is anyone have a Snickers bar? that'd be the perfect place.
Yeah, especially since she's starving because it's Hunger Games.
That's right. Love it.
Exactly.
And Snickers satisfies.
It does satisfy. Did this movie satisfy?
I'd say for the most. I liked it more than I didn't, so. I'd say so.
All right. I liked it more than I didn't. A ringing endorsement, apparently. all right. Eric.
All right. I was off. I was out for a few seconds there. I don't think you probably got in any talk about another big movie that hit the theaters, Frozen.
No, we did not. Frozen? Nope.
And I think a bunch of us saw it, right?
I did see it. Yeah,
I don't know. I really, really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. This is the new Disney movie. Another high mark for CGI animation. I think this year we've had Monsters University, which I thought was gorgeous, and then this another one that it makes me wonder, like, what are we gonna have in 10 years that we can look back on these movies and say, boy, these movies look like crap. You know, how good is it gonna get? You know, because I remember a time when Super Nintendo games looked like the pinnacle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, so who knows? I know it's gonna be like, I mean, maybe it'll be like Robo Butlers and holograms and such. But anyway, the movie was good. The movie I thought was a lot of fun. It's interesting because last year around the same time, Disney had another big movie out, Wreck-It Ralph, which was a lot of fun too. But you know, watching Frozen, I realized that this is probably the movie that's going to get a lot more play over time because it has sort of a timeless kind of classic feel to it. Whereas Wreck-It Ralph, even though it's a movie I should love on paper because it's all video game references, I think will have limited appeal. Granted, I have a daughter and another daughter on the way, so I think Frozen is more in the wheelhouse of my family. But
I think my only and I did like Frozen a great deal. Yeah. Actually, it was one of the screeners that got sent my way, so Bridget actually was able to take a look at it too. Don't tell anyone. I'm not sure if I broke any federal laws by letting my daughter watch it, but I think the only thing that struck me was like, boy, this certainly feels like they're setting it up for a Broadway musical. You know,
I thought the same thing, and I think the music was written by people who had done Broadway.
Yeah, right. I mean, and like Elsa, the voice of Elsa, she was like from Wicked, right? So I mean, it was great, but you could see in the pitch session, like, and in 3 years, this is going to be a great Broadway musical, you know? So
yeah, I mean, it feels like a musical, and I'm not a big musical guy. I think that the music didn't strike me as much at first. As being kind of like, oh, I remember that tune and this tune and that tune. After the fact, there were things that stuck with me, like, oh, I really like that song.
Right.
They did more to sort of just kind of keep the story moving in sort of a musical way, as opposed to like a stop for a showstopper number Disney movie and then move. You know,
I think there's only one of those. I think, and it's the one they've been kind of. It's like their big song, the Let It Go song. But beyond that, that's pretty catchy. I have to say, it's kind of infectious.
And I like that. I like the. I can't remember the name of the snowman song. I thought
that was good. Very clever.
That was pretty fun too. But that was good. I saw that in theater and enjoyed it. And opposite of Frozen, I saw The Heat. This is The Heat, the buddy cop Paul Feig directed Sandra movie Bullock. From over the summer. Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Right.
That is a great movie.
Wow.
I laughed harder than I've laughed at any movie in a long time.
Wow, bold.
It was really Melissa McCarthy especially is great. She's so funny.
She's so funny.
And this movie, it's kind of like Peter Capaldi's character in The Loop, and that she's just her put downs of people are so gleefully obscene and over the top and just completely like you see everyone just shrivel into raisins. And it's I think if you're not up for adult language, then maybe not. But it just goes such crazy places. And the action is pretty good too, and the story doesn't break any new ground. But I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it. So I recommend it.
Very good, Jason. What you probably got quite the backlog. But anything recent? Anything recent?
what have you ever watched?
Well, yes. It took a couple hours. I can tell you.
Back. Yeah, bring us back to your favorite Don Bluth cartoon growing up.
Well, I've been catching up on The X-Files on Netflix, and I was a big fan of the show when I was a young teen. I watched it when it was on the air, and I really haven't seen it since then, so I just thought, hey, why not? And I've been wading through the first season, and it holds up really well after, 20 years, I think?
Pretty now, close. Mac, were you next... Were you an X-Files guy? Daryl, were you an X-Files guy?
I was not.
Me neither. I didn't know.
I was totally an X-Files guy.
You were, Mac. Okay.
I stuck with it to the bitter end. Yeah.
Okay. I was too.
Oh, nice. All right, so you got two that you can relate to, James.
Yeah, I should watch that sometime.
It's good, and I mean, there's definitely some really dud episodes in that first season, but a lot of big names pop up, like Alec Ganser and Howard Gordon, who they did 24
on Homeland, right.
I think. Yeah, they wrote a lot of the episodes, and Yeah, there's some good stuff there. It really reeks of the 90s, though. I mean, it's with, like, all the poorly tailored suits and bad hair.
Now, was it very much Monster of the Week even from the get-go, or do they have their goofy arcs in place?
Yeah. Oh, goofy arcs are in place from the beginning. Yeah. It alternates, though. The first couple episodes were kind of setting up that mythology, and then it starts diving into the Monster of the Week stuff. And I mean, a lot of them are... You can basically figure out what's going on within the first 5 minutes, but still a lot of fun to watch. I mean, the acting's great. So, yeah, check it out if you haven't.
I think one of the most confused I've ever been in, like, I never watched the show, but I went to see the X-Files movie.
What's wrong with you?
Not exactly a good
joke. It'd be like going to see Fire Walk With Me, never having seen it.
Yeah, much.
So, exactly. This sounds like lots fun. Of I like cherry did. Pie.
I just sat there. I think I just sat there kind of, you know, flummoxed the whole time.
My
I was flummoxed that I watched the show. So.
My entire experience with X-Files is two episodes. The first episode that I ever saw, this would have been in about 96, 95 or 96, was the one where Ponce de Leon finds the Fountain of Youth and becomes an immortal moss monster.
That's not bad, huh?
Which was potentially the dumbest thing I've ever seen, and this includes all kinds of early 60s horror. The other one was that really screwed up episode with the inbred family. That lives under the board. That's like those are literally the only two episodes of that show I've ever seen. So I really don't even know what to think about it. It's either ridiculously dark or the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Nice.
You should probably watch more than two episodes.
It sounds like you picked the two episodes on the biggest extreme.
Monster,
and then a tragic inbred family. I mean,
I think I'm okay with this juxtaposition. I'm fine.
I'm guessing there's got to be some middle ground along the way.
I don't see it.
I've actually gone back recently and started rewatching the first season two, kind of off and on. Okay. And yeah, I'm with Jason. There are a few episodes that are just kind of don't really hit for me, and I'm kind of waiting for them to be over. But there are other ones I'm just surprised at how well they work, even from the first season. So, you know, it was a time before the real serialized TV hit. So we have to look back on it. We have to understand.
Yes. Yeah, and it was trying for some of that. It was trying to keep a thread going.
Sure, between the two episodes you've seen, I'm sure you can tell it's exactly. You can extrapolate.
I've heard hundreds of nerds talk about this show over the last 20 years. I'm okay.
Now, speaking of antiquated television, I just want to pipe in real quick. And Mac has been doing a fun series on revisiting 21 Jump Street, which is obviously a show near and dear to my heart. And Mac, just a general, what's your general emotional response to this adventure you're going on?
It's fun. The reason I'm doing it on my blog, which is just macmcintyre.com, is that I'm trying to revisit the show, trying to rediscover why the show worked. Even though it's really dated and really hokey, and there's no way any of this stuff could ever happen in real life, why did it work? It's because, you know, well, we like the characters.
Yes.
And we like the crazy adventures they get into. And
two words, man, Richard Grieco.
Yeah, I'm not in the third season yet.
Sorry.
No spoilers.
No, I watched them all back in the day, so I know, but...
A lot of heavy duty, a lot of life lessons.
When I'm watching an episode about teen pregnancy or an episode about racism, it's like, how am I going to make this funny on my blog?
Yeah, that's right.
I can't really do that.
I will say though, you are depriving yourself if you don't try to track down some of the Peter DeLuise commentary that was on the DVDs. You'll miss such interesting trivia like Johnny Depp put rolled up socks down his pants.
Nice.
I would guess that they all did.
I probably all did, yeah. So
was there ever a say a triple X parody, 21 Hump Street?
There probably
must have been, right?
It has to
hope so.
Yes.
I'm not going to Google it, but I wonder.
Shame on them. That's true. They really missed the boat.
Absolutely. All right, so at MacMcIntyre.com, check out Mac's very entertaining series. And just for me, I've been. I can't believe I did. Speaking of triple X parodies, I subscribed to Cinemax.
For their original programming, of course.
And I am not joking. That is correct, Daryl.
I know it is.
You know, it's so Strike Back Season 3, which the second season I raved about, and I still stand by it as being just one of the better series of television I've seen. it just wrapped up, and then Banshee, which I sung the praises on this show, is starting in January. So I just pinged my cable company to see if there was a deal. There was, so I've just been powering through Cinemax's original programming, which, you know, screw the world, it's pretty great. So
so essentially you watch Cinemax for the articles?
I do. I watch Cinemax. Exactly, that is what I do. I watch Cinemax for the articles. So
which one's the Amish Mafia show?
That's Banshee.
That's Banshee, okay. Okay.
Which I highly recommend it. I think, in fact, I was in Best Buy today. So both, I think Banshee's on sale. Strike Back is on sale, too. They're pretty cheap. I would highly endorse either of those, Strike Back Season 2 or Banshee. But I've been watching Season 3 regardless. It's already aired, so I'm just plowing through it on demand. Again, very good. Just like 24 on bath salts. Now that we mentioned bath salts. So just wild and woolly, but super entertaining and looking forward to Banshee coming up like within a couple weeks. So, but that was a fun conversation. Hey, honey, I just subscribed to Cinemax. So.
There's just a manual that I gotta see.
It'll be arriving in the mailbox in a brown paper bag.
Yes, please don't.
Every month.
So. All right. So moving on. How about stuff we've got coming for the site? Daryl, why don't you go right back to you?
Nobody cares.
Very good. Mac, what do you got?
Yeah, this is kind of also falls under nobody cares maybe, but seasons 1 through 3 of Totally Spies, the animated series that I believe was started on ABC Family and then switched over to Nickelodeon. I don't know, it's kind of turn your brain off television, you know, it's Buffy, but not as smart, not as funny. You know, 3 teenage girls are also spies, they have adventures. That's pretty much it. It's amusing, but I wouldn't recommend marathoning all 78 episodes like I did for the weekend.
Wow. What? Honestly, that sounds like Gitmo quality experience.
No, this show's fine. It's fine for what it is. It's zero substance, but it's fine.
All right. Okay, Eric.
Nothing upcoming, but up on the site now is my review of the Muppet Movie on Blu-ray.
Nice,
yeah, I saw that. I'm gonna have to pick that up.
Yeah, I've long long said it's one of my favorite movies of all time. As a kid, especially, I think it's the best Muppet movie, and it still holds up for as an adult watching it now. Blu-ray is fairly solid. It's not it may not be the high def revelation that we want it to be, and it may not have a ton of bonus features, but I'm glad that the movie's out, in a new format for a new audience of kids who may not realize that the Muppets existed before they met Lady Gaga. So,
so in regards to your review of that about the other movies besides the Muppet Movie, Muppets Take Manhattan, and The Great Muppet Caper, I have never. The most disappointing experience of my entire theater-going life was The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Wow.
And I never watched – until the new Muppet movie, I never watched another piece of Muppets until that happened.
Wow.
Sorry
to hear about that.
It was terrible. They just should have stopped. It just should have stopped.
A lot of people really love that movie.
People love it, and people love Muppet Treasure Island and all that stuff. I can't imagine that's worth anything. But those first three movies are beautiful.
I haven't seen the Muppet movie in a while, but man, the Great Muppet Caper to me is just perfection. I can't get enough of that. So,
I actually picked up the Blu-ray, and I agree with Eric that the Muppet movie it still really holds up really well.
Such a cool,
really movie. Entertaining.
So nice. Yeah, I think when Tim Curry started getting involved in the Muppets, things went downhill.
Tim Curry gets involved in anything.
He is. He's a virus. Jason, how about you? Yeah, anything you want to draw attention to?
Yeah, I actually had two very different music documentaries. One of them is for a British band called the Stone Roses. They were really big in the late 80s, early 90s in England, not so much in the U.S., but they got back together last year. And Shane Meadows actually directed the documentary. He did, like, This Is England and some other movies, which I really liked. It's pretty good, but it's – they were a band that was really notorious for just a lot of the drama that went on, and this kind of skips all of that and just shows the sunny side of things. But it looks great, though. It's just – it's a beautiful-looking movie, especially the concert footage. And the other one I have is a documentary on One Direction.
We won't
comment on that.
So. All right, nice. Well,
ouch. Ouch.
It's actually a lot better than I expected it.
It's a lot better than One Direction, say.
Yeah.
So have you started, like, combing your hair like the way Harry does and wearing your
– just a little. I started wearing scarves more, and I'm grooming my beard a little bit more too. All right. You know.
Well, no, that's good.
I'm so sorry you knew the name Harry, Dave.
I know these things.
I'm so sorry.
That's
for
it,
you.
Though. I don't know his last name. I don't know anyone else's name. That's all.
I don't think any of the fans of his know his last name either.
Okay.
He's Harry, the cute one, or whatever.
I'm so sad. You think he's a cute one? Yeah. That's
that's my take. That's my take on
it. Is One Direction not the most like the most generic boy band name you can think of?
Oh yeah. No. I mean, you know. Whatever it was, 98 degrees?
Yeah.
I mean, at least that's, like, given the sense of heat. Like, this band's got some heat attached
heat,
to it.
Yes, heat, right.
You know,
in sync, One Direction, the apostrophe N. So that...
One Direction, it's downhill.
Yes, that's true.
And that's just, I mean, that's just negative thinking.
Hello?
So, wait, is Eric back?
Eric's back.
All right, he had bopped. He's jumping in and out, so I think he's in. Eric, can you hear us? No, yes.
No. And he's missing the One Direction conversation. I know. That's the one thing he would have wanted to see.
I was hoping you would spare us that. So, all right. I will punish you some more. Since we didn't do last week, this has been up for this week, but Fast and Furious 6 on Blu-ray, one of my favorite summer movies this year. We did regale our friends about how we watched that movie, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was, Mac, myself, and another friend, we checked it out in D-Box. You guys familiar with that?
That's right.
So, so that was pretty wild, but it holds fast on Blu-ray for sure.
Does Blu-ray feature the D-Box action?
It doesn't. I don't even know. If
dang.
For that.
That'd be impressive if they could do that.
That would be impressive. Though I will say on a more somber note, when I was spooling up to write this is when the tragic news of Paul Walker dropped, you know? Yeah. So that was definitely a little weird. I guess normally these celeb things don't really affect me much, but for some reason that one was like, hey, he seemed like a cool guy. I kind of liked his stuff. I thought he was, you know, he wasn't the most accomplished thespian perhaps, but I always thought he was kind of earnest in his stuff. And, I think Running Scared remains a badass, underrated cult movie that he did a good job in. So, I don't know. That's my Paul Walker obituary. So, my Paul Walker memorial. But I do have a Christmas movie that I'm sure everyone was interested in. Home for Christmas 3. Familiar with that?
Yes.
No, yes. Okay. Home for Christmas 3, A Golden Christmas. This holiday, get your wag on, okay? There are two dogs on the cover eating candy cane. But here's the thing. This movie is not about dogs. There's like dogs are not in this movie. This is a movie about people who happen to have dogs, but it's really about people, and it's just kind of a half-baked romance. So do not get this movie if you're expecting dogs. That's all.
I'm sure the actors must love all the work they put in this movie, and then they get the DVD and
that's right.
The dog on the cover.
And all this stuff, all the screenshots on the back featuring the actors are holding dogs. So, it is definitely
they're really pushing. They're pushing a really specific market there, aren't they?
They are, and that market is going to be very disappointed when they just do a low-grade Lifetime movie. So, okay, Mac, why don't you take us onwards and upwards?
Okay, we're going to take a look at what's coming up next week on DVD and Blu-ray, and everybody at home can play along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. So there, we'll scroll down to the cover art gallery.
Hello?
For December 17th.
Wait, hello, Eric again. Can you hear us? Oh, man, something is wonky.
It comes in to say hello.
It's all my fault.
It's the ghost of Eric.
It is. He's gone again. Sorry, yeah. All right. Once again, we bit him. Sorry, Mac. Continue.
Yeah, we're just going to take a look at what's on the list and see what's coming out next week.
All right.
Ooh, there's that sick One Direction documentary I've been hearing so much about.
Yeah, we've been hearing so much about it. Yeah.
It's the ultimate fan edition.
Yep, right. That's
I'm the ultimate One Direction fan. Sounds like it's for me.
Is it Justified, huh? I actually haven't seen this season, so usually,
season four. I kind of drifted away from Justified.
So. Yeah, I don't know why, because I do love the show, so this will be a good chance to reconnect with it.
I heard a lot of good things about the fourth season too.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Because I thought the third season bounced back pretty well from a uneven second. So I just don't know why we started. I think we watched one episode and we just for some reason didn't continue watching. So.
Hmm.
Not a ton here to choose from.
The Blue Angel, for classic film fans, is a super fun movie. I recommend. Oh, Doll Man, one of the strangest sci-fi horror, I guess.
Jackie Earl Haley is in this?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, and they made a bunch of sequels, and the last one, I believe it's the last one, was Doll Man versus the Demonic Toys.
Right, Charles Band, yeah.
Yeah, Charles Band movie. Combining two separate series in the Doll Man and the Demonic Toys movies.
It was the Avengers before its time.
Indeed. Indeed. Because, you know, it's not very scary if you've got demonic toys when you can just crush them with your foot. But if their adversary is the size of a doll, well, you know.
Right.
Drama. Drama.
I heard some good things about Ain't Them Bodies Saints, too, especially if people like Terrence Malick's earlier films. If, I don't know if that's a selling point or not, but.
Is that supposed to be in that vein?
Yeah, a lot like
The Bane of Badlands.
To Badlands, I think.
Yeah,
it looks like a modern Western type of thing.
Yeah.
It does look like, boy, as far as the most exciting release, Rocky Mountains 3D might be. Like, you got an eagle and a ram and a meerkat or something. That's a lot of animals just hanging out there. So.
Yeah.
I have no idea what Psych the Musical is. I'm not sure what that means.
That was a big deal at Comic-Con.
Oh, it was?
People, like, lined up around the block to see Psych the Musical.
Huh. Well, I don't know if there's anything else here. I think we hit all the highlights, so we'll just... Do we have any release these on DVD releases to choose from?
Yeah.
Dale, you got something?
Sure. Well, Alien Uprising.
That's pretty good. Mac, how about you?
The Beast Within.
That's good. Jason, you got anything?
Rocky Mountains 3D.
Right. yeah, I guess I'll just go with One Direction.
In.
Let's just finish this. Let's just get that. So, unfortunately, we have lost Eric to technical difficulty, but he remains with us in our hearts. So, let's move on to our ambush topics. Random topics thrown at each other. Mac, why don't you start us off?
All right. Daryl kind of got into this a little bit with one of the X-Files episodes, but our first topic is hillbillies.
Hmm.
All right, I'm going to go with one of my favorite classic horror original splatter movies, 2000 Maniacs, in which a group of urban teens head out and into the countryside and get accosted by a town of Confederates. It's their big party of the year, and these four teenagers are their blood sacrifice.
Oh wow!
And it's amazing.
Yeah,
and it's so bloody. It's Herschel Gordon Lewis, 1964. It's so bloody and so glorious.
What kind of sliding scale are we talking about as far as hillbillies? Would you say like? Wandering down from the hills kinds of things?
No, they're an established town. It's a rural southern town that still celebrates its Confederate past.
Okay, gotcha, yes.
And they barrel roll. Everybody knows the barrel roll.
Sure.
They barrel roll somebody, or one of the teens. But before they do, they put a bunch of, like, 5-inch nails into the barrel. So... When the guy rolls down the hill, when he stops rolling,
yeah.
He's been getting stabbed over and over and over by these 5-inch nails. Mm. And, you know, he's not in good shape when he gets down to the bottom of the hill.
Interesting.
And it's phenomenal. It's the best. It's the best.
Sounds it.
Maniacs. It's rad.
All right.
I think I'm going to go with Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah, a movie I haven't seen. Yeah,
that movie's a riot.
It's a lot of fun.
So are they both hillbillies?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're kind of like the people from 2000 Maniacs. It's just there's two of them in there.
Yeah, it's kind of reversed. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really funny movie.
It is a fun movie, yeah. You'll like it, Dave.
All right. Well, I don't think he's a hillbilly. He's just a southerner, but I'm going to go with the cop. I think the Louisiana cop from Live and Let Die.
Oh.
The Bond movie, or no?
The sheriff, yeah. The
sheriff. He ruins everything. Like he is part of, like, his goofy grin, like his goofiness ruins one of the greatest stunts ever made. You know, the topsy-turvy, the barrel roll that the car does. You have to, you know, they do that for real. And then it's like, boom, and then they put a slide whistle in it. And then you see this dumbass just, like, falling backwards in the car. And
isn't it a James Bond tradition for the American cop to ruin everything?
I guess, yeah, that's true. Good point.
I think so.
But, I mean, this they ruined, like, one of the greatest stunts ever. I mean, if I were the stuntman who did that, I would be just so, you put a slide whistle there, you know?
All right. Yeah, that was a dark day for that guy. That was a dark time for Bond, right?
Screw him. Yeah.
Well, for mine, I went to the world of comic books, as I so often do. Back in the 1970s, Marvel Comics had a series of ads for Hostess fruit pies, which involved the Marvel characters. And one of them, the mighty Thor, who we just saw in theaters, battled with the Ding-a-ling family, a family of spacefaring hillbillies.
Okay.
Nice. Which movie is this? Or which comic is this? I'm sorry.
This was a one-page ad that ran in a whole bunch of Marvel comics.
Ah. Sorry, yeah, I missed
it's an
that.
Advertisement for Hostess that was in the comics.
That's amazing.
That makes me want to get Hostess.
It does. And they are back, by the way.
Yeah.
So you can.
And through an unknown and mysterious quirk of time and space, the Ding-a-ling family found themselves being flung through space, and you'd think that Thor, the mighty god of thunder, would be no match for, or that he'd be easily able to defeat these hillbillies, but they have an atomic shotgun.
Yeah, great.
And the two young cousins, once they grab a hold of someone, they never let go. And so they both grab a hold of Thor, and he's swinging his hammer around. He can't get them off him. But fortunately, Sif, his friend, is there on hand with delicious Hostess fruit pies. This distracts all of the hillbillies, they run away from Thor and allows him to capture them all while they're enjoying their Hostess fruit pies.
That's a good tactic.
It is. Yes, it is.
I can't really argue with it. So, if you're ever in that scenario, anyway, it's good to know you have an out. All right.
I keep hoping Marvel will bring back the Ding-a-ling family.
The Ding-a-ling family. What if that's like the big? What if that's a big bad for Avengers 3? Age of the Ding-a-ling family. Okay, I'll go next here. Stereo Systems.
All right, it might be low-hanging fruit, but I'm going to go with Michael J. Fox blowing himself into the wall and back
to the
future.
It's a great one. That's the tastiest kind of fruit usually anyway.
Yeah, it really is. It's so easy to get.
It's so easy to get.
I'm so lazy.
How about in Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing? Doesn't the one guy have that boombox that he's always trying to, like, find batteries for?
That's very good.
Love the boombox. I think those are making a comeback, too. So,
are they?
The big ones, yeah.
Let's see.
There's a good chance he'll steal mine, but we'll see.
Oh, really? Well, I'm not sure if it really counts as a stereo system, but the first one that comes to mind is the twins from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Is they have their gigantic DJ set up with all the lights.
Oh,
and
yeah. Yeah.
That's good. Nice. That works.
That works.
And they just press two buttons simultaneously, and then everything happens with just those two buttons. And, like, a big, like, dragon or ape or something comes out of the speakers, and it gets all crazy.
That does work.
It does get crazy. And then Scott Pilgrim gets some coins. Spoiler
that's
alert.
Right, of course. And that's when he gets his extra life.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. That's a very strange and interesting movie.
Well, I'm glad you didn't take mine. I'm going to go with The Lost Boys, Death by Stereo.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. This makes zero sense, you know. He gets over this tiny Davy Crockett, My First Arrow playset, and then for some reason he gets electrocuted by the stereo. That is one of my favorite cop-out death scenes in movies. You know, the guy who gets thrown into the circuit panel and gets electrocuted, you know?
Right.
I don't know how
that works. Was that used in Commando?
I think so, for sure.
I think it was Commando that was the Schwarzenegger one.
Seems to happen a lot. People just tossed into circuit boards. But this one was even, I don't know if there was enough wattage in like an Iowa, you know, cassette deck. Like, because the vampire literally explodes. He turns into like a torso. You know, he turns into Anakin Skywalker and Revenge of the Sith. And a meaningless one-liner. I don't know. Was that a reference that I missed? Death by Stereo?
Was that like an old MTV commercial or something?
Oh, must be, yeah. I mean, that movie essentially was just a string of non sequiturs anyway, but. All right. Okay. So, Daryl, why don't you go?
All right. You guys have your choice. A regular question one or the change a letter, remove a letter. Yep. Whichever one you choose, you're getting next. Whichever one you choose, the other one you're getting next week. So,
oh, boy. So take your medicine now. I guess that's the question. That's okay. Well, I say this is a good opportunity to haze Jason. So let's do. Let's do the change a letter thing.
All right, got it.
Let's see it. What is it?
Okay, so the deal is you add, remove, or change a letter in a movie title,
yes.
And that's sell me on the movie.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
All right. I got this.
Okay.
We're going to take the drama Mr. Holland's Opus. Remove the letter O. Just have Mr. Holland's Pus.
That's good. All right.
And it's a medical drama.
Oh, that is it. Daryl is all over that movie.
Now it's a medical drama where Mr. Holland is.
Yes, I will.
He's very sick. Lots of goop is ooping out of every pore, and the doctors are
causing it.
That's right. The doctors are racing around the clock to find out what's causing it. Yeah. Turns out the answer is space aliens are causing it.
Mr. Holland has cystic fibrosis. Ah. Sorry.
Nice. So that's a sell. Okay. See, I'm gonna go with The Fat and the Furious. Sells itself.
Totally.
It's fat dudes who are just really angry at life, and one thing leads to another, and they just get angrier. Yes. And fatter. So.
Does a TV show count for this?
Yes.
Sure, whatever, whatever.
Awesome. Okay, so. We're going to do Downtown Abbey.
Downtown Abbey. All right, good.
Which focuses on a bunch of streetwise monks who help kids in, inner city New York face bullies and, learn not to smoke and things like that.
That's good. All right.
Fantastic, yeah. All right, so it's just me. Eric's gone. So it's mine is a little movie called Pet Seminary. It's technically a sequel to the Air Bud movies, but it's the non-athletic, really pious Air Bud child.
Yes.
And he goes to seminary, and it's a drama about him, a coming of age drama about him getting along.
All right, good.
With all the other prospective animal preachers that are going to come out.
Oh, I'm sold.
Yeah, I don't know. Not sure which. It sounds like the next Disney movie / Broadway play, actually. we got Richard Dreyfuss oozing pus in one.
That's my vote.
That's a pretty good one. I don't know. Downtown
Broadway
Abbey.
Version.
Downtown
of
Abbey sounds like the feel good, youth centric movie that we need today. So a lot of good options here. So Jason, wrap us up.
All right, misleading DVD covers.
Ooh, yes. This is one of my favorites, and I won't use Home from Christmas 3. That's a good one. I'm trying to think of the best possible one for that.
And you can make that as broad as you want, obviously.
Yeah. So, this, a lot of lying. A lot of these lie to you, right?
I guess one sort of well-known one, well-known among certain circles, the Miyazaki's classic animated film, Nausicaa. It was originally released in the U.S. under the title Warriors of the Wind.
Oh, yeah.
And the cover art had this crazy, like, Darth Vader-looking guy with a big, like, you know, black metal helmet and a big black cape, and he's holding up, like, a red lightsaber. That character is not in the movie at all. There's a bunch of other monsters, like Star Wars-style monsters standing around him who weren't in the movie at all, so... Bunch of kids like must have rented that back in the day, thinking it was going to be awesome Star Wars action. Then it was about a young girl who's protecting the environment.
good one.
Man, I'm trying to remember the name of some of these. I just saw. Crap, I can't remember the name of it. I just saw. It was built to be like a bit. It was pitched as an alien invasion film. You know, it was like. There's explosions, there was, on the cover there were explosions, there were laser beams, there were soldiers, and when you get actually to the movie, it is a low-budget movie with like three, so there is an alien invasion going, you never see anything, you just see the three soldiers who got lost, and they're just wandering through the woods, and that's it. So the whole movie is them wandering through the woods, and you don't get any, even though it's pitched as this badass alien invasion movie. And there's a reason why I can't remember it, because it's totally forgettable.
Alright, I'm gonna go with a movie that has sort of, to me, sadly gotten a lot more acclaim than it needs, in the cover for Troll 2.
Yes.
Which has the silhouette of what's essentially the actual troll from the original Troll, and nothing to do with anything, at all. What's it called, World's Worst, what's the documentary called?
Best Worst Movie.
Best Worst Movie.
Or Worst
Best
Movie?
Yeah, that's...
something like that.
Best Worst Movie. Best Worst Movie. And that opened up a lot of people's eyes to one of my two favorite movies to watch with my friends in high school.
Nice.
With the Blues Brothers, which I've never actually liked. I just watched it with them. But Troll 2 is badass, so...
That's true.
All right. I recently, for the site, reviewed a movie called Drinking Buddies, which I actually liked a fair bit. But on the cover, it has the cast kind of, you know, just sitting there looking nice. And the actor, Jake Johnson, is clean-shaven. But in the movie, he basically looks like a homeless man with this giant, scraggly beard with, like, stuff in it. And not once in the movie is he clean-shaven. So I'm sure a lot of people bought that, thinking like, "Oh, hey, that guy from New Girl is in this, and he looks like a homeless guy." So
nice.
That's misleading.
I will say that I did a quick search: DVD Verdict disc cover lie. That was my. Actually, I got a bunch here that I've reviewed of them. So I'll give some. So A Viking Saga: The Darkest Day, that has a cover with. Like 100 badass Vikings running at you, swinging an axe. And do you remember this movie? It's really just another quiet road movie about a couple guys who find a Bible and they hang out with some priests.
Yeah, that's misleading.
That is misleading.
Oh yeah.
See another movie called Knockdown, starring Tom Arnold. again. Lot, there's guns, and there's like a sexy woman with her legs up in the air, and there's an action fest, and like, apparently it's a character-driven, dialogue-drenched movie. So, drama, rather. So there's that. So Knockdown, I'm going to give you Knockdown, and Viking Saga, The Darkest Day. So
there's a double feature.
Yes. All right. Very good. Well, that, with that being said, we are done. We're done for this week. We've got a couple big movies coming out, including The Hobbit and new Anchorman movie, which I am unhealthily excited for. So
I wish I could get excited for that. Although I'm a big fan
of Anchorman.
I am too, but sequels, I mean, remember Caddyshack 2.
True.
Always keep Caddyshack 2 in mind.
It's going to be – we'll see if they know why the first Anchorman was great. You know, it depends on if they realize it was great just because how absurd it was and then – the references they made to the absurdity that had happened. You know?
I can say that I have liked the truck ads that Will Ferrell's done under Ron Burgundy and his interview of Peyton Manning on ESPN.
That's excellent.
Was very funny. So that gave me a little hope.
Yes.
And speaking of hope, as we come up on this, this will be a little while yet, another 3 weeks, but did you see the Community Season 5 trailer?
I have not.
Yes.
Does it give you hope?
It does give me hope.
Okay.
It gives me hope.
Because I did not watch any from last year. None. Zero.
None of the episodes from last
maybe
year?
The first episode.
It was sad. And we talked about this, obviously, and it was sad. But the trailer for Season 5, Dan Harmon's back on board, obviously. It's a trailer, but it has... Watch it. You'll see it has the sense of the first three seasons of Community, especially the third season of Community, much more strongly than anything in the fourth season ever had.
All right.
So we'll see.
All right. Well, that is a hopeful way to end this program. So
I'm ending things on a positive note.
You are. That's true.
It's a red letter day.
Usually I want to open a vein when you take over, but no. So that is it. Sorry we lost Eric halfway through, but on the other hand, we're happy that Jason joined us. So, Jason, we'll look forward to having you on in the future, yes?
I hope so.
Very good. Very good. Much appreciated. So, we will definitely dial in next time. So, FridayFilibusterDVDVerdict.com is our email. Mac, take us away.
Let's get them all, Ken, or our name's not ding-a-ling.